Oh, I'm loyal, the best of protectors, so protect me. Oh, I'm loyal, the best of protectors, so protect me.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our program أسماء الحسنى Blessed names of Allah Azza wa Jal. And inshallah, in this episode, once again, we'll have the privilege, the good fortune of listening to the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and briefly explain them in light of what the ulama have mentioned in their books. Now the name that will be discussed today inshaAllah is Hasib. The first name that will be discussed is Hasib. Ha, Sin, Ya, and Ba. Now this name has appeared in Quran and Hadith and the meaning of Hasib One meaning is to suffice, to be sufficient. And in regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the name Hasib means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who suffices His creation, His people, His slaves in all of their affairs. And this is obviously the case. This is our aqeedah, this is our belief that Allah azza wa jal is sufficient for us in all of our matters. Allah jalla wa ala says in the Quran, Surah Nisa, verse 6, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا And Allah is sufficient as the one who fulfills the works of people. Now what have the ulama said regarding this blessed name? Inshallah, let us hear about this as well as explain the aqeedah that we should have regarding the name Hasib as well. Now firstly, in Surah Talaq, verse number 3, Allah Jalla wa Ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ And whoever places his reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah is sufficient for him. Allah suffices that person. So if a person is in difficulty, he's been afflicted with a calamity, Allah is sufficient for him. If a person needs a desire to be fulfilled, his needs will be fulfilled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is sufficient in fulfilling his needs. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ And in terms of relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this has beautifully been explained in a hadith sharif where the Prophet alayhi salam discussed a bird, how it leaves its nest in the morning with an empty stomach. But then it returns home satiated with a full stomach. So this is the reliance of that bird upon the dhat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It leaves every morning in this state that its stomach is empty and it returns every day in a state that it's satiated. So this is the tawakkul that birds have, subhanallah. And if you look at a chicken, for example, again, the reliance of a chicken is to be admired as well. If you place water before a chicken, it will drink that water, quench its thirst, and when it has done so, it will tip that bowl of water over by kicking it. Meaning that's surplus now, that's not needed. So the chicken does not save anything till the next day. Allahu Akbar. And it's an animal. What shar'i hukum are you going to apply to an animal? Obviously, insan cannot do that. We cannot waste the blessings of Allah, especially water. But this is just to explain the tawakkul, the level of reliance that a chicken has upon the dhat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It knows that the being that provided me with water today will do so tomorrow as well. Allahu Akbar. And the verse I just recited a few moments ago, subhanAllah, if you look at the complete verse from the beginning, Allah Jalla wa Ala says, verse 2 and 3 of Surah Talaq, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا And whoever fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then He, Almighty, will make a way out for him. Every time. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ And he will grant him sustenance from where he could not comprehend. He could not even imagine that sustenance would reach him from that place. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ And whoever places his reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah is sufficient for him. So taqwa has a big factor in relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who are pious, inshallah, will have more tawakkul upon the dhat of Allah azza wa jal. And the outcome of being reliant upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. Allahu Akbar. Surah Ali Imran, verse 159. Allah azza wa jal says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. Indeed, Allah loves the mutawakkilin. Who are the mutawakkilin? Those who rely upon Allah. Those who put their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Allah jalla wa'ala is the one who fulfills the needs of His creation, of His servants. Now, what should we think in regards to receiving blessings then? Yes, we place our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but as for acquiring, obtaining, receiving blessings of Allah, sustenance, for example, what should we have as our mindset in regards to this? Now, yes, Allah jalla wa'ala is the one who fulfills needs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who removes our worries and calamities. He is sufficient for us. But at the same time, Allah jalla wa'ala has created the world as alamul asbab. He created us, He placed us on the earth. We are to rely upon Him, but we are also to strive and make efforts to try and acquire things in life. So if that's sustenance, then we have full trust in Allah that we'll receive it, but we don't adopt any haram means. We avoid and stay away from all haram means to gain sustenance. Similarly, for other things in life, to acquire other things, we always adopt that way which will lead to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stay away from those things which will earn His displeasure. So, coming back to the point I was making, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who fulfills the needs of people. Yes, Allah is the one who removes people's difficulties. But at the same time, we don't use this belief to disrespect or dishonor the awliyaullah or those who have been given authority by Allah Azza wa Jal Himself. So we don't do inkar and reject the authority and power given to the beloved chosen people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this regard, let me explain what the ulama have said, that in the Quran, the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has been commanded, فَقُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهِ. Surah Tawbah, verse 129. O beloved, say, Allah is sufficient for me. عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَهُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ. I rely only upon Him, and He is the Lord of the great Arsh. Allahu Akbar. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being instructed to say this, that Allah is sufficient for me. But then we have another verse of the Quran, Surah Al-Anfal, verse 64, wherein it says, Ya ayyuha an-nabiyyu, hasbuka Allahu wa manittaba'aka minal mu'minin. That, O Prophet, Allah is sufficient for you, and those who follow you from the believers, they are also sufficient for you. Now, Allah being sufficient for a person, it's understood. Allah will remove that person's difficulty, fulfill his needs. What does it mean by the believers are sufficient for you, O beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Here the ulama say that this is obviously in reference to the Sahaba radiyallahu anhu ajma'in. What it means here is they are sufficient in supporting your cause, meaning the cause of Islam. They will assist you in spreading Islam and making sure that Islam is prominent. And this is what the Sahaba did, alhamdulillah, throughout their lives. They wholeheartedly supported the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And the Sahaba can only do so with the power given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, how can they be sufficient for you? Without the power of Allah, they can't. But Allah has given them that power and they did assist as well, alhamdulillah. And there are so many accounts of this. On one particular occasion, it was a ghazwa, an expedition, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered the Sahaba and encouraged them to give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Sahaba were generous, subhanAllah. And on that day, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala, and he thought that I will take precedence today. I will give so much today that no one will be able to compete with me. And this was not to boast or anything like that. The Quran says, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ, that seek to advance or precede one another in terms of goodness, good deeds. And the Sahaba were eager for this. They were desirous of this. And it wasn't to show off. It wasn't with ill intentions. It was with pure, salih, righteous intentions. So this day, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, he brought half of his estate, half of his assets and his possessions, placed them at the feet of the Prophet alayhi salam. And he thought, today, no one can compete. Even Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Well, what happened? We all know. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and came, and he gave everything he had. Allahu Akbar. Everything he had. And that's when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu realized that there's no way anyone can compete with Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He is on another level, subhanAllah. Now, in this narration, which is in Tirmidhi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, what have you left for your family members? And what was his reply? أَبْقَيْتُ لَهُمُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. I have left Allah and His Rasul for them. Meaning Allah and His Rasul are sufficient for my family members. This was his answer. This was what he intended. That Allah and His Rasul are sufficient. They don't need anyone else. Allah and His Rasul. Now, look at this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say, فَقُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهِ. That, O beloved, say, Allah is sufficient for me. Then we have the verse where it says that, وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That the believers who follow you, they are sufficient for you as well. And then we have this example where Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, I have left Allah and His Rasul for my family members. Meaning Allah and His Rasul are sufficient for them. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't reply and say, O Siddiq, what did you say? Allah and His Rasul, this is not allowed, or this is shirk, or this is polytheism, this is something wrong. No. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say it. There was tacit approval. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not rebuke him for saying this. Which shows that the aqeedah of the Sahaba was that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the bestowal of Allah, also suffices the people in meeting their needs. The Prophet alayhi wa sallam has been given ikhtiyar and qudra by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's how he can be sufficient for people. So this was the first meaning of hasib, being sufficient. And we've heard an explanation regarding this as well. Now the second meaning given by the ulama is that hasib is in the meaning of muhasib, the one who takes account. And we know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He is swift in taking account. إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ Surah Al-Imran, verse 199. Sometimes in the world, a person is taken to account. At times it's in the akhirah that this happens. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's up to Him, it's His will, mashia, however He wants to deal with a person. Now as for the akhirah, obviously this is our aqeedah. Whoever does not believe in the accountability of the hereafter, he cannot be a Muslim. He leaves the fold of Islam. So there will be accountability in the hereafter. How will it be? Obviously, the scales will be there. Deeds will be placed on the pan on each side. Good deeds, bad deeds. Whoever has good deeds which dominate and overpower his bad deeds, he will go to Jannah, of course. And whoever is the opposite, he'll face punishment. And some people will be taken to task for individual deeds. They will be asked about each of their deeds and they will be destroyed. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this hadith is in Sahih Bukhari, وَمَنْ حُوسِبَ عُذِّبَ. And whoever was taken to account, whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took account of, عُذِّبَ, that person will be punished. Now here, Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, she raised an interesting question. She was a faqihah, she was a mufassira, muhaddisa. She had expertise in Islamic ulum. Why? Because her teacher was the greatest teacher of all, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she had a question. She said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes those who will be given the book of deeds in their right hands and who will be successful. فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. Soon they will be taken to account, but their accountability will be an easy one. And they will go towards Jannah happily. Now, from this she said that we learn that some people will be taken to account and their accountability will be easy. Yet, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are saying whoever is taken to account will be punished. What's the reconciliation? How do we reconcile between these two things? One ayah of the Quran and your blessed saying. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described how it will be. And he removed this confusion or this curiosity that she had, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha. Prophet ﷺ said, those people who the Quran is describing, whose accountability will be easy, who will be admitted into Jannah, they are those who will be given their book of deeds. They will only look at those book of deeds and that's it. They will be on their way to paradise. As for what I am talking about, that whoever's accountability is taken will be punished, I am referring to those people who will be asked about individual deeds. And they are dissimilar to the first group of people that the Quran is describing. The Quran is talking about those who will be given the book of deeds straight to Jannah. And the second group will be people who will be asked about individual a'mal. And if they're asked about individual deeds, how can they ever answer? In the world, you can maybe deceive someone, you can get away with things, people bribe others. There are so many ways of getting the outcome that you want. How on earth can somebody do that in the Akhirah? Can someone deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. Can someone bribe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. Can someone dupe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. None of this can take place. So there, whoever is asked about an individual deed, a bad deed, will be destroyed. What answer can he give? Illa mashallah, except the one upon whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows mercy. And to conclude, I just want to mention what the ulama said regarding the aslaf, rahimahumullah ta'ala, what beautiful mindset they had. And they could have that mindset because they were pious. And they would say what they said out of humbleness as well. So they would say, on the day of judgment, we desire that our account is taken. We want our accountability to be taken. They had studied those ahadith wherein a sinner, transgressor, a great sinner will be shown mercy on the day of judgment. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will refer to that sinner as his slave. And they would do ghor upon this. They would contemplate and ponder about this. And they would say that we want our account to be taken on the day of judgment. Why? Because the sinners will be shown mercy in the Akhirah as well. We know about this. And they knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be merciful. So they would say that we want our account to take place. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us, Abdi, my slave. So that we can reply, Labbayka Rabbi, I am present, O my Lord. O my merciful Lord, I am present. And the feeling at that time, subhanAllah, only the one who goes through that situation will be able to recognize that or know what it feels like. So they wanted an opportunity, they're desirous of this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes them to account. But obviously this is something exclusive to them. We are sinful beings, we are transgressors. Our thought is different. And our a'mal are not like that. The awliya Allah, out of ajzi, out of humbleness, would say stuff like this. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala questions us about shortcomings, misdeeds, then He will show mercy to us. And He will forgive us as well because He is Kareem. But this was their, subhanAllah, hissa. This is something unique to them. But us, we should say, Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive us without accountability. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, enter us into Jannah without accountability so that we can reside in the company of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Because if we are taken account of, Allahu Akbar, how are we going to answer for our deeds? What good deeds can we present? So we pray that our book of deeds are given to us in our right hand and we are amongst those whose accountability is taken easy and we are admitted to paradise swiftly, inshaAllah ta'ala. So today we heard about the name Hasib, how it's used in the meaning of the one who suffices, the one who is sufficient for others, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for His people to meet all their needs, to fulfill all their needs. And He's sufficient in removing their afflictions, their calamities, their worries and concerns. And secondly, the ulama say the meaning of hasib is muhasib, that the one who will take account of people on the day of judgment. We also explained how that is, that some people, their accountability will consist in just taking the book of deeds in their hands and being admitted to Jannah. And their account will be taken easy. And then the Prophet ﷺ described those whose account will be taken and they'll be punished. And that refers to those people who will be asked about individual separate deeds and they won't be able to answer and that's why they'll be punished. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from punishment for even a single moment and make us amongst those who will enter Jannah with an easy accountability. Bila hisab, the ulama say we should do dua that without accountability. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enter us into Jannah through the shafa'ah, through the sadaqah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Oh Allah, you're the best of protectors, so protect me. Oh Allah, you're the best of protectors, so protect me.